Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 15, Text 9. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Evam Vrindavanam Srimat Krishna Prita Manapasun Reme Sancharayan Adre Shadidro Su Sanuga. Sukadeva Goswami said, thus expressing satisfaction with the beautiful forest of Vrindavan and its inhabitants, Lord Krishna enjoyed tending the cows and other animals with his friends on the bank of the river Jamuna, below Govardhan Hill. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Taksur Unmulitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manobistam Sapitam yena bhutale Swayam rupakadamayam Dadati swapadantikam Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha Kripa sindhu bhayevacha Patitanam pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siadvaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So can someone please tell me if I'm on, because I'm new to this technology. Can you hear me?
We can hear you, Maharaj.
Okay, great. Okay, thank you. Okay. So greetings from Vrindavan. It's been another one of those marathon weeks. You know, so many people are here for the Govardhan retreat, and they had their break between the Japa retreat and the Katha retreat. And even during the Japa retreat, I was hosting 20 Ukrainians, not Ukrainians, Iranians. And never saw people chant so enthusiastically. Because in their country, it's really, you can't have a temple, you can't have deities. Maybe people have home deities, but they really don't have that. So the holy name has become their deity. And I have a few disciples, and they're cooking every day, and and the gifts they bring, and everything is so fine. Everything is so fine. It's really amazing. I mean, going to take lunch every day. Practically, they bring this rice. You just leave the rice in the middle of the room. It's practically like incense. It's so fragrant. And so fine, the tastes. They made one rice and it had a sauce made of walnuts and pomegranates with cheese in it. But it was so, everything was so fine. And it got me to actually thinking the relationship between aesthetics and elevation of consciousness. Prabhupada describes in the 10th canto when he describes Dwarka, how beautiful it was as compared to the modern day cities. They call the modern day cities dungeon of demons and how it destroys the finer sentiments in the consciousness. And that specifically, and I'm going to get to the pastime here. That specifically what aesthetics is. It's part of the culture. And culture is the science of constructing an environment to refine one's consciousness. I can just see it, just by the beautiful things they bring. And the way they behave. Yeah, and aesthetics, when things are very fine, there is an element of love in them. That's the principle of course, I've always discussed the relationship between love and aesthetics. That Krishna has a pleasure potency, which is Krishna Prema love. And when then that's heightened to the highest degree, that's called Mahabhav, intense love. And Sri Radha is Mahabhav Sarup. It's the form of that. When you love, you offer the best. And the best is also, and we know that from the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, that Vaibhuti opulences are an inspiration to remember God. Because fineness is not random. Fineness is created. Fineness has intention. So this is a whole science of the effect of environment on consciousness. And how the proper environment refines the consciousness. That's why the art and the music and the behavior of a culture indicates also the refinement of the people. And now here, what we're having is Krishna had just praised the beautiful forests of Vrindavan, and of course it says Evam Vrindavanam Srimat. Srimat means to possess Sri, or opulence or be very beautiful. So it says, Evam Vrindavanam Srimat. The forest of Vrindavan, in this way, Krishna expressing Pritta Manat, satisfied in mind by the beautiful forest of Vrindavan, which was a manifestation of love and beauty, because it is meant to please Krishna, and therefore all the senses take its most exquisite form to please. And Prithimana, he became satisfied in mind, and therefore Reme means to play, experience great pleasure. It means those activities without which one cannot stay happy. And what are those activities without which one cannot stay happy? And that's relationship. That's love. You know, there's a famous study done by Harvard, and only Harvard University could actually do this study. I think I may have shared this with you before, what this study was. Is it started, I think, in 1940. It started in 1941 or something like that. And it started with, they were going to chart the lives of 200 people. 200 people that were in Harvard University and 200 people that were in South Boston, which is a working class neighborhood. And they would chart them so they can study the people's development and what is the cause of that development. So they, you know, they study so many factors. So the study is still going on. There's maybe 20 people left in their 90s out of the 400 or something. So for example, they studied health. So now they know, they can do a sociological study of people in their 80s, right? When they're in their 80s, who is healthy, who is not healthy. And what are the factors in their life that led to that? And of course, diet was a factor, of course, exercise was a factor. But the main factor that was the cause of health, was the amount of quality relationships people had in their lives. So, Krishna is taking pleasure, the environment satisfies his mind for pleasure. And what's that pleasure? That pleasure is the relationships God has. So he turns his mind to pleasure, and he expresses satisfaction, and then he begins his playful activities with the Cowherd Boys. And the cows and his friends on the bank of the... In fact, there's a derivative from the name of Krishna, where Krish means a place or abode, and Na means not, or Nivritti, free of all contamination. So it's a place of free from all obstacles to experience bliss. So Krishna actually means a personality whose very existence is perpetual ecstasy. And that's the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, that the ultimate reality is what? It's rasa vai saha. He is rasa. He is the intensity of perfect love. So the environment satisfies his mind, and therefore he enjoys. Of course, this is not just temporal, this is the existential nature of God. The existential nature of God is desiring to enjoy an environment manifesting that corresponds to that desire. And that was how the story began. He attained at the age of six, his body had matured, and therefore it was suitable for friendship and other forms of relationship and happiness that wasn't available in Vraja, the township of Vrindavan, when he was a calf herd boy. And now he Krishna wants to enjoy friendship, and therefore there's a suitable environment with it for it, which is Vrindavan, the forest. Even I remember, you know, when I was young, when you wanted to enjoy friendship, you went outside with your friends. You didn't stay in your house. Of course, I didn't go to the forest. But still, the principle is there. A different environment is conducive for a different type of relationship. And of course, the ultimate aim of these pastimes is to inspire us to develop a relationship with God so that we could also experience the highest form of happiness. Because the highest love is a relationship to God. Because Krishna means the perfect object of love, which is eternal and which is real. So now there's a long verse, Kvachit Gayati Gayatsu Manda Dalish Vanu Vritai Upagi Yamana Charita Pati Sankar Shanabita. Now this is how after praising the forest, now Krishna begins his playful activity. And there's a summary of those activities. It's really amazing if you actually think of it that in the Bhagavatam, let's say Krishna's activities with the gopis is Panchadhyaya. It's five chapters. What is it? I don't know exactly, but around 150 verses. it's not always described elaborately. For example, in the previous verse, it described how the different animals were offering their best to Krishna, and how the cuckoos are offering their singing, not their dancing. The peacocks are offering their dancing, not their singing. And the does are offering their affectionate glances. And it says, cha, and all the other animals, and you can fill in the blanks and meditate how they also offer their best to Krishna. The principle of the universe. We're constructed for Krishna's pleasure, and therefore everyone has something to offer, both existentially, their eternal nature, and both the material nature that they have. Everybody has a nature, and the perfection of that nature is to serve. That's actually the secret of happiness. You know, we have a certain nature, and when we align our desires with our nature, we can become satisfied. That's what the law of karma tells us. You have a particular nature by your karma. You even have a particular nature. So you align your desires with your nature, you'll be happy. That's actually the principle of happiness mentioned in the Yoga Sutras, that happiness is contentment, to be satisfied. Because no matter what you get, there's always something better. And if you hanker for that, you're at the same level of unhappiness as when you had less and you were hankering for more. The person in business class is hankering, the person in economy hankering for business class is in the same misery he gets when he's in business class and hankering for first class. Anyway, so we'll read this, and oh yeah, so I was going to mention why are just not so much mentioned, not so many details, because to understand God is not just an intellectual process. It's a revelation from God. And I always make this point, it's the same thing with knowing any person. Knowing any person is not just an intellectual analysis of the person. It's a revelation of that person to you by his own will, based on his trust in your love expressed by service. So yes, the pastimes are being described, but it's not just ink and paper. It's chit shakti. The message is God, and God reciprocates. Prabhupada said, It's not just an intellectual shock process, but it's not like the guru touches you on the head and it's electric shock. But when you use your intelligence in the service of God, then God reveals himself. I'm experiencing this with the pastimes. There are not many people here now. Most people at the Govardhan retreat. Today I had about 6 or 7 people in my class. It's fine. Good people. And I'm speaking every day, and the audience is very receptive, and the imagery that comes out, the pastimes, you read them, and there's more there than you intellectually analyze. We just had the scene, because you're going to see the activities of the coward boys are going to come. And one of the things is Krishna becomes fatigued. And when Krishna becomes fatigued, the cowherd boys make a bed for him to rest. This is the basic principle of spirituality, that your pleasure is that which gives enjoyment. But there's a difference between calm and priya. They both, the priya love, priti love, pri means to enjoy. Kama means to enjoy. The difference is kama means to enjoy the enjoyment you get from your own senses, and priya means the enjoyment you get from the enjoyment of your, from another's enjoyment. That's why one principle of chanting is think of others before yourself. So the coward boys, their pleasure is Krishna's pleasure. So Krishna's tired, then his rest is their pleasure. And then you have this scene of them making the beds for Krishna in the forest and taking twigs and making a base for it, and then flowers, and the trees in Vrindavan are just manifesting flowers they want to serve. Krishna picks every flower in Vrindavan that wants to be offered. He steps, there's not a grain of sand in Vrindavan which Krishna doesn't step on. Because Krishna is all powerful. And therefore, he has unlimited capacity to reciprocate with love of every living entity, and therefore accept everything. Therefore, Krishna in the 23rd chapter is called Yajnabhuk. When Lord Brahma is looking down at Krishna with the cowboys, he's trying to figure out who he is. And he sees Krishna with yogurt and fruit and rice in his hand, and the whey dripping down his arm, and eating off the plates of the other coward boys, and he's holding this in his hand, and he's so beautiful, but he's saying, Yajnabhu Bala Kali. Which is he? Is he one who is playing with the cowherd boys and just eating the rice? Or is he Yajnabhu? Is he enjoying the fruits of all the yajnas that are offered? And the answer is there's no difference. Because Bala Kali, he's enjoying with the cowherd boys, but he's not limited. He's accepting the service and reciprocating with everyone. So many cowherd boys and 3-4 get together and they're making a bed, and the flowers are blooming off the tree, beautiful, huge, fluffy flowers, fragrant flowers. And they make these beautiful, fragrant beds. And Krishna lies on the bed of one cowherd boy, but he's lying on the bed of all the cowherd boys. Because he has all power and he's reciprocating to everyone's love. And everyone feels that exclusivity in the relationship. When Krishna is taking Prasad and all the coward boys are surrounding him, looking for the acceptance of his love, each coward boy is feeling that Krishna is looking at me. Part of the principle of love is if you actually have love for someone, Your greatest pleasure is the acceptance of that love, that acknowledgement of the love. When Krishna comes back from the forest in the evening, that scene is going to be coming up, and the cowherd boys. First thing is the pada dhuli, the dust of Vrindavan in the air. And then the kirtan of the cowherd boys is heard. And then the gopis see Krishna, and Krishna is looking at the gopis. The gopis are looking at Krishna, and Krishna accepts. So the scene is going to be there of Krishna in the forest, this template for how he's enjoying, and by hearing it in the proper way, it comes alive to us. And more of the pastime becomes revealed. The six Goswamis, I remember I was listening to one class, one devotee in Vrindavan, and he's quoting Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that he prayed to each word in the Bhagavatam. And as he prayed to each word in the Bhagavatam, unlimited meaning came out. And therefore, based on those five chapters, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of books on the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. There's more than meets the eye. That's why we have prayerful reading. We read the Bhagavatam. It's not just intellectual, but the book will speak to your heart. The book will instruct you. The book will reveal itself to you. So here it says, Kwachit means every now and then. Krishna, he would, sometimes the honeybees in Vrindavan became so mad with ecstasy that they closed their eyes and began to sing. Lord Krishna, moving along the forest path with his cowherd boyfriends and Baladev, would then respond to the bees by imitating their singing while his friends sang about his pastimes. Sometimes Lord Krishna would imitate the chattering of a parrot, sometimes with a sweet voice, the call of a cuckoo, and sometimes the cooing of swans. Sometimes he vigorously imitated the dancing of a peacock, making his cowherd boyfriends laugh. Sometimes with a voice deep as the rumbling of clouds, he would call out with great affection the names of the animals who had wandered far from the herd, thus enchanting the cows and the cowherd boys. The word Kwachit means, if it begins like that, now and then, at every suitable occasion, Krishna would take the opportunity to sing along with the bees. As he's walking through the countless pathways, the gardens, the bowers, he's singing. And he's singing what? He's singing his loves. Krishna does kirtan also. His joy is expressed. And he would sing in response, anuvritai, to the bees that were blind due to intoxication. Love. They're drinking the honey. They're intoxicated, but they're intoxicated with love. We discussed the bees. And when someone is intoxicated, he doesn't act for love out of love, he acts. Or Krishna is intoxicated with love. It's described in the Rasa Leela when Krishna is dancing with the gopis. He ceases to be the cause of all causes in the sense he becomes intoxicated with rasa, or this divine happiness, this pleasure, this overwhelming love. And when one is intoxicated, one doesn't act for pleasure, meaning I am the cause of the activities, but out of pleasure I act, meaning that there's something that causes me to act. So Krishna is like a drunk man. He's not thinking how to act. He's dictated by his state. So Krishna's dictated by his state of love, and so are the bees. And when Krishna would hear the bees singing, he would join in presenting his own voice that was perfectly complementary. Perfect in harmony, and he creates like a symphony. And you can imagine the bees are singing in high and Krishna is just singing along. And it becomes very, very beautiful. And this is inspiring the friendship of his friends to no end. If you have a good friend and he accomplishes something and he does something, you enjoy that performance and it inspires your friendship. So Krishna exhibits so many talents in the forest of Vrindavan, which his friends enjoy, but more they enjoy his friendship. So Krishna is singing, and then seeing the singing with the bees and creating this symphony, the cowherd boys begin to sing his glories. Upagiyamanad charitai. And they're quite specific to the way Krishna was singing with the bees. So they're able to compose on the spot beautiful songs. So it's just, this is rasa. It's just an ocean. These activities and exchanges just make Krishna so attractive, and they inspire the love of his friends so much, and that love is expressed, and people just become absorbed in bhava. It's not just simple activities. You can go to the forest, you can play with your friends, and there may be some sentiment, but this is love or devotion, the pleasure potency of God, the internal energy of the God, of the Supreme Lord, heightened to the highest degree. You're eternally swimming. You're eternally swimming in the most intense love. And it says, Sankarshanan Vitat, Balaram was singing along. And Sankarshan, I mean, who always draws Krishna into his association. This way, their activities are very similar. And it means, wait, someone's making noise there. What's going on there? Okay. Hi, Bo. Okay. Are we still on? You can still hear me? Hi, Bo.
We can still hear you.
Okay. Ruti, this new technology is the best. Thank you for that. It's really much better than anything I had before. So it's so sweet. What a meditation and what an aspiration that, you know, I want this love. That's the only thing that's ultimately missing. That's the purpose of life. If we're depressed or whatever, the hole in our heart is for love, and the highest love is love of God. And the cowherd boys are completely, they're together, and they have ecstasy in their hearts. They constantly sing Krishna's glories, and it says anuvritai, they're together, relishing together. What is that? Shared bliss is higher than individual bliss. That's the secret of kirtan. And the reason is because bliss is love, and what the obstacle to love is ego. And when there's kirtan, and when there's friendship, and when there's community, you tend to identify and experience something together beyond the limited concept of I. It's not that you merge. You're an individual, but you transcend the ego, which opens the heart to a higher experience of love. So the cowboys are sharing this experience. And we have some experience in the world of when we share an experience, it's some kind of transcendent feeling. I think in Greek theater, it's called catharsis. It's some transcendent feeling that allows us to transcend, even for a moment, the ego with its anxieties of ambition, of loss, of revenge, of humiliation, of insecurity, and ad infinitum, all the things that come from the ego and the desire to control, and that desire and that identity. So they're free from that. And we become free from that by kirtan. We become free from that by community to that extent, where there becomes something higher than the individual interest, the limited interest, the group interest. And ultimately, that transcendence goes to God, the universal community, where it's not just I sacrifice for the partnership and transcend the limited I. I sacrifice for the family, transcend the limited I. We're moving in the right direction. Transcend for the community, limited I. Transcend for the humanity, transcend the limited I. The cosmic community of God, where it's at that level. And the cowherd boys sing, and it's even more exalted than the bees. And then the cows and the cowherds, then Krishna calls them very sweetly and charmingly. So we see here that the rumbling, like it says, like the rumbling of the clouds, he would call in great affection. Even it says Krishna dancing, imitating the peacocks, voice deep as a rumbling cloud. So I forgot it. What's a voiceover? Someone has a very deep voice, and Krishna would call out with great affection the names of those who wandered off. So it's so endearing when someone whom you love calls you to their side by affectionately calling your name. And sometimes he would cry out in imitation of the birds, such as the chakoris, the kanchas, chakravabhas, bharadvajas, and peacock. And sometimes he'd run away with the smaller animals and mock fear of the forest. So the birds with a very high pitch, and Krishna would be able to sing. So you imagine he's imitating the birds so perfectly. There's a show here, it's called Krishna's Got Talent. He's got talent. He's imitating the birds And then Bitavad, he's like fearful, you know, even though in Vrindavan there's no aggressive animals, Krishna begins to react like someone is scared. But he's not exactly scared. It's like scared. It's another enjoyment, childhood pastimes. You know, you're scared and you run and you hide and you're chasing and all natural activities. So it's just this ocean of rasa. And the Bhagavatam, to the extent that we hear it and we hear the pastimes of Krishna, we understand that this is what we want. We may not understand the form. We may not understand the form completely, but this is what we want. We all want love. We all want relationships. You can't be happy without them. Thank God we have a community. I think one of the beautiful things about Krishna consciousness is it creates a community based on kirtan, which is a wonderful way to share with others and develop relationships with others. And then when his elder brother fatigued from playing would lie down with his head upon the lap of coward boy, Krishna would help him relax by personally massaging his feet and offering other services. It was Krishna's duty. He had, his brother was older. And there's very wonderful systems in culture. Krishna also represents a culture where there's a natural process of authority and decision making out of love. Not that every decision is an argument between two people. No. Older brother, you follow. And you enjoy, because it's also, it's not exploitation. It's a manifestation of love. And how wonderful is that? You serve. So Krishna is also serving. He's serving his older brother. And ADB, other things, such as what? He's fanning, he's swinging seat songs, he's sprinkling water on his face. Swayam. Personally, we do service, we do personally, we don't do it through others. If you have a deity, you don't have others worship the deity for you. You don't pay people to worship the deity. Because it's about the giving the deity love, not just giving the services. You pay people, they're not doing it out of love, and you're not doing it out of love. He'd do all the service himself. He'd gather leaves from various trees and make a fan. He'd dip his shawl in a nearby pond. He'd collect water for drinking. And he knew, because he loves. When you love someone, they reveal their heart, and you know what they need. That's one of the secrets of bhakti. Like, we want to know Krishna. When you serve someone, their heart is revealed to you. Otherwise, you can't serve them. So if you want to know someone's heart, you serve them. And then you can please them. So if you want to know God's heart, you serve them. And you serve those who serve God and know their heart. And that's called Guru Parampara. So this is really very beautiful pastime. And we really are enjoying in Vrindavan. And one day I wish all of you to be here with me and take lunch with me when the Iranian Vaishnavas cook. I mean, it's the things they bring, it's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. My godbrother Arjuna used to, because they come, and there's like there's a group of 20 that I was going out. It was the best parikrams, because usually you have to carry people on your back. They fire you up. They are not at all mental. When there's a chance to chant the holy name, they're as enthusiastic and rasic and grateful as anyone. And so I'll just tell you, end it off a little joke. So I remember they came a few years ago, and one girl from New York, Manjari Gopika, a very nice devotee. She was an actress before, so she came to Vrindavan, and I was helping her. So the Iranians were there, 20, and I'm sitting on like a bed. And they're giving the jewels that you can't believe. The best saffron in the world, these things called sweet lemons, pomegranates as big as your head. You've never tasted an almond in your life unless you got one from that country. It's just a whole other experience. I can't even describe it. And all kinds of things, these dates, that you can't even export them because they're so rich that they ferment. I remember Raghunath came and I handed out to them, his group, these dates. They thought they were getting glubjubbins. There's nothing like it. There's these extraordinary things. So my bed was piled up with so much stuff. And Manjari Gopika, who has like a bit of a living in New York sense of humor, she looked at me and she said, "Some sannyasi, I'm filled with all this opulence." And when Arjuna used to come, he used to call it my Punjabi grocery. I can't get rid of this stuff. And in Vrindavan, the sadhus are incredible. They're grateful when I bring them this incredible saffron. To them, it's like gold. Their deity worship, especially in the winter, it heats the chandan if you mix it with saffron. So we're serving. It's 24/7. Okay, would anybody like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you very much.
Who is this?
Kali Chanji.
Who?
Kalachanji.
Oh, Haribo. Hare Krishna. Hi. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello? I know some people always have problems with muting phones and the whole thing.
Haribo Maharaj, it's Mukunda.
Mukunda, you're on the top of my list, honestly speaking. I have to answer your letter. It's just been hectic. Really, you've been on the top of my list. I think of it every day, but I never get to it. So I'll answer your letter soon.
Okay. Okay, no problem, Maharaj.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hey, Krishna Guru Maharaj. Lee,
and then who else?
Ximena Maharaj.
Ximena, great. Yeah, Haribo. Ximena, I'm asking Shyam Sundari to get this transmitter so that in Puri, when the classes are translated, you know, one person can speak. They do this in Russian. And okay. So all you need, I think, is like some kind of thing that has an FM radio, I believe. So I don't know if you have a phone or you buy a Mumbai. I mean, it'd be great for Sebastian. Because
all right, Oscar, I'll get. I'm going to get a chip in India. So
okay.
What else do we need?
Okay. Okay, I'll write you what you need. Okay.
Thanks so much, Maharaj.
Okay, hi, Bo. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Gumaraj. This is Kishore.
Talk to Gopina.
And Priya.
Priya, okay, great. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. This is Shilpa Darvika.
Thank you. Hari Bo. Good. We have such a nice community. Anybody else?
Hi, Maharaj.
Can I hear Braja Radhe, Janine? Okay, who else? Okay.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is Gail.
Gail, Hare Bo.
Hare Bo.
Anybody else? Okay. I guess we'll just end for now. Thank you all.